I get it. I get it. It's a little bit of a rooster overreaction for me, but I just see more and more injuries with this Commanders team, and I'm just going, God, it feels like last year. It does. Maybe it's a scar. I'll admit it. If I need to sit on the couch and get a little therapy, Kevin Sheehan can help me. How about that? Nick Ashew, Team 980. Kevin Sheehan jumps on with me, host of the Kevin Sheehan Show, right here on Team 980 as well. Look, the conversation now becomes whether or not starters will, while some starters are going to play Kevin, it looks like not all of them. Jaden Daniels is the big one here. I'll just throw right into it, man. Do you want to see him play? Do you want to see him out there at all? Because, like, preseason's gotten to the point now where there's just so little value in it anymore, and they show nothing with these offenses.
I mean, I keep going back and forth on this. Like, Ben asked Quinn a good question today. He's like, just try to explain the value of, like, a series or two versus the risk of putting out. Like, what's the value, really, of a series or two? Remember the Chargers game last year? It was the first game back after the Green Bay injury, and literally he and the offense looked terrible first two possessions. And then the rest of the game, he absolutely lit the Chargers up and looked like he did in 2024. Like, two series are nothing in an NFL game. You know, like, you get the ball 9-10 times, and sometimes you get into the flow of the game, and then the good stuff comes later. So, I don't know. It's one of those things, Nick. It's like, I think you got to leave these decisions up to the professionals who are actually out there and really know what they need before the opener in Philadelphia. To me, though, there is something that makes sense about a dress rehearsal when you have a new coordinator, a new center, now he can't go, a new receiver, and you got so much that's new out there. Why, go into the first game having not done it together? I don't know. We'll see.
But, it's like preseason has just changed so much, too. It used to have more value, and it used to be a little bit of a shorter season. And, you have starters playing at least one game into the third quarter sometimes. And I'm sure you've seen it, the Tom Brady touchdown pass to Randy Moss all over the social media with, it's like 5 minutes to go in the third quarter of a preseason game. And he's like, I played football when there was football. Yeah, it just feels like now you're right. That's kind of where I am, where it's like the value of a couple of short drives where you're not going to see much. Because, Kevin, last year, man, we thought they were going to run the hell out of the football with what we saw against the Bengals in that one drive in the preseason. I was like, Chris Rodriguez got faster. They're going to hand the ball off. They're going to have a balanced offense. And then we saw, like, none of that during the regular season. So I just worry that you're in this spot now where there's just really no value in him being out there. But at the same time, then you start week one and this offense looks terrible and they're going to be like, see, you should have played in the preseason.
Yeah, and people will say that, but it doesn't mean that the people that say that are right.
This is true.
The bottom line is preseason NFL football has devolved into a totally worthless product for us, the consumer, and for the teams, it's simply a matter of being able to evaluate the players who are fighting for roster spots, 45 through 53. Some teams, it's probably only 50 through 53. And then determining what the next 17 are going to look like on your practice squad. That's what you're doing in these actual preseason games. Some people believe that that's actually what you're doing in the joint practices to a certain extent as well, because you're not showing much there either. So the whole thing is a ruse, basically, where, they're not paying the players and everybody's sitting around and it's football on TV that gets great ratings, but it's not really football. We don't know anything about any of these teams until they start to play real games. And even when they start to play real games, it takes 5, 6, 7 games to figure it out.
Where is your level of concern with specifically Nick Allegretti? Kind of shifting to a new position. I know he's learned some of it. It's not like he can't play it, but missing all this time, the chemistry, new offense, that's a lot that he's got to catch up on.
So when they cut Tyler Biadasz, we were all surprised. Like, really? He was pretty decent. Then, was it Tyler Linderbaum that was plan A? My guess is it was plan A. And the price got ridiculous and, let the Raiders pay him $29 million a year. Plan B, I do think, was Allegretti, because I think they really like him and they think he's a great communicator. They think he's really smart, and that's what maybe was his edge. But what if he isn't healthy and has injury problems? What's plan C? That's the problem. I actually feel fine about Allegretti because they feel okay about Allegretti. It doesn't mean they're right, but there's some level of confidence there that, you know, he's not going to be a major downgrade from what they had. But what's plan C if he's banged up and can't go? That would be the concern. And by the way, wouldn't surprise me over the next week or two if he just keeps missing and he's ruled out for another week of practice, if they start looking for something that's maybe not in the building currently.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, too, is we spend so much time looking at what these rosters are in camp now, and guys get cut all the time that, you know, it's just a numbers game there. So, yeah, I think there's
a lot. Yeah, I mean, Noah Brown was added, you know, 5 days before the opener, and on bad teams, you see a lot of, well, you know, there's 6-7 guys that weren't in camp that ended up being on the week one roster.
What do you think they do at running back? Because we obviously saw a couple of, you know, we see a 6-round pick and an undrafted rookie both have really good opening preseason games. We expect more from Bill this year, and I think that, you know, this feels like you could maybe keep 4, but you've just got this numbers game across so many other positions. And again, I know it's only one preseason, but do you think this becomes one of those, hey, let's add another running back because we can really balance this offense a little bit more?
I think, first of all, Rashad White is going to be a major, major contributor, and he's going to be, I think, much more of a split or even a majority of the snap counts, of the snaps, especially early in the season, than maybe fans think. I could be wrong about that, especially with the hamstring and the whole thing. And I know that they are confident in Kroski Merritt, but going to Philly, going to Dallas, having Seattle come in week 3, you got to have a veteran running back that can pick up, you know, the pass block aspect of the game, and be more of an all-around back. And I think they'll have confidence in him being out there. After him and Bill, I mean, I would imagine that, you know, Jeremy McNichols will be on the roster. If he doesn't start the season on the roster, he'll start it on IR because he is currently legitimately banged up. I really liked what I saw in Robert Henry Jr. last week. I think he is a more natural zone runner than Catron Allen. But Catron Allen has some ability, too. Who, by the way, what running back gets 23 carries in a
preseason game? Dude, it was a ton of carries. I couldn't believe it.
23. It's insane. That's what I would expect. You know, those 4 with Allen and or, you know, Henry Jr., I'm going to assume it's going to be Allen. But Henry Jr., they had back on punts last week, kickoffs. They clearly wanted to see him, you know, under the lights to see if what they had been seeing, you know, during spring and summer was legit or not. And I think he, you know, gave him reason to believe it is.
And, you know, I think even if this team is healthy, Kevin, to start the season, there might be some level of, like, figuring things out still with the offense to where, you know, they've made some additions defensively here, and this defense might have to, like, carry's not the right word, but maybe pick up a little bit of the slack. And we've seen this a lot, right? Offenses early on in the regular season tend to struggle around the NFL. You get more, at least from the run game. Running back numbers are up from rushing touchdowns to rushing yards, and, you know, scoring kind of evolves as the season goes on, which, by the way, I actually really like the under 46.5 Commanders-Eagles week 1, if you want to dabble in that, because I think it's two offenses that are going to – they've got new offensive coordinators and a lot of moving parts. But, you know, I actually have a higher level of confidence in this defense as long as they're obviously healthy.
That sounds like a neighbor Nick theory.
You know, a little bit, yeah.
Like a neighbor Nick theory, and we might be going opposite of that. Tim Murray and I might be. The defense carrying this team would really be interesting, wouldn't it? Because that defense last year and even the year before was really, really bad. So,
but we have to at least agree that it is definitely different than, like, they have made some significant upgrades there. Or you don't think there's upgrades?
And no, it's different. It's upgraded. It doesn't mean it'll come together, you know, in terms of the pieces fitting. It doesn't mean it'll be coached well. We have to see. It's a first-time coordinator. But I do think, Nick, it would be nearly impossible for it to be worse than it was last year. I'm expecting it to be better. Whether or not it can carry this team early on, if the offense is still kind of growing and getting used to, you know, a new system, I don't know. That'd be great because bottom line with this team, number one on the list, and everything is, you know, five steps down before you start counting, is Jaden Daniels going to be healthy for 15, 16, 17 games? If he is, then you've got a chance to win more games than you lose. If he isn't, it's your season's doomed, no matter what you have on defense or anywhere else.
Well, that's how the NFL is. It's all quarterback-driven, as we know. Talking to Kevin Sheehan here on the Team 980.
Especially when he's your best player.
Well, yeah. I mean, and then, listen, this is why they pay quarterbacks as much as they pay them, and it's just – I think that's one thing, though, that's just – right. Think of how many years we've looked at this team, and I've talked about it, and I know you've talked about it plenty, the amount of quarterbacks that have started for this team, and you just look at the names and go, oh, my God, we had no hope from the beginning of the year. Like, I can remember years, Kevin, trying to justify, you know, why Case Keenum or John Beck or Rex Grossman, just, you know, maybe this is the diamond in the rough, and this team found, like, we, and again, lots of fan bases do it. We all do it when you're desperate to find that meaning. But I mean, if you look at some of these teams around the NFL that don't have a quarterback, you know their ceiling is lower. This is one of the rare eras for this organization where there's at least a level of hope because of what you just said. It's about the quarterback, the guy that's under center, and it's not John Beck and Rex Grossman or Jeff George or any of these other dudes that they've been throwing out there over the years.
You're 100% right, and I'll go even a step further. I mean, with Dan Snyder as the owner, Tommy and I would talk about this all the time. You had to suspend reality to have a real conversation about the team, because the bottom line was, as long as he owned the team, you were never going to be good. You know, you were never going to have sustained success. You know, you might hit the inside straight and go 9-7 and backdoor a playoff berth one year. But so you don't have to suspend reality anymore, because it's actually a professional and it's a competent organization. And then to your point, because you have one of those guys and there are 10, 11, 12 of them in the league and that's it, you got a shot. You have a chance every year. And I truly believe he is going to have a big bounce back year. Last year, the people that have talked about regression and all this stuff, it's like, what are you talking about? He didn't even play. Yeah. I mean, he played in seven games and he played only four start to finish. And in those games, he didn't have a supporting cast. So anybody that legitimately evaluates Jaden Daniels' second year is high. I don't see how you can do it. I don't see how any of it would make sense. He just didn't play enough football, and everybody around him didn't, that was, you know, frontline starter material, didn't play enough football. You just wipe it, you know, out of your memory, and you hope it's the aberration year where everybody gets hurt and you have a bad year, because he has stayed healthy with the exception of last year. He played 52 of 54 college games, and he played all 20 as a rookie, the 17 in the regular season. And if I have to remind people, the three playoff games that they had, I think he's going to have a big year.
If he's healthy, I mean, he can elevate this offense in so many ways, even with missing pieces on that offensive line that they're going to have to deal with. Before you go, right. I know you're a hoops guy too here. What do you think happens with the Anthony Davis situation with the Wizards?
I mean, I would hope that he has major incentive to have a big season so that he can either get traded at the deadline and get paid, or get paid when this year is over. I you know, you and I have talked hoops for as long as we've known each other. This is their best chance in a while to be a legitimate competitive team. And I think if he has a non-Anthony Davis injury type of year, meaning he plays 60, 65 games, I think they can win 44 or 45 and be a sixth seed in the East. So I am as fired up for a Wizard season as I've been in a long time. But I also know that it comes down to him being healthy, playing, being, you know, having true incentive to play at his best so he can sort of affect his own outcome. Because the reason they got him so cheap, I mean, I think we think it was cheap, is because he's just not playing enough. And I'm hoping for, you know, a season in which, you know, we can actually have meaningful basketball games for our pro team in town. Here's the thing, too, Nick. If he isn't healthy, they're not going to be a good team. It doesn't matter what A.J. DeBonta is as a rookie. Cooper Flagg was great, and they won 26 in Dallas last year. So I'm not expecting A.J. DeBonta to turn the team into a playoff team in his rookie year, even if he's really good, which I think he will be. But, yeah, that's looking forward to that season as much as anybody's season in town.
Well, what, you're saying Trae Young can't elevate this team to a 50-win team?
No.
I mean, come on. There's no,
no.
Kevin, the, but in Atlanta, they, oh, wait, they were a playing team all the time. Never mind, just kidding. Yeah, I'm with, like, well, the Trae Young thing is a whole other situation. I hate that they paid him that. But it is what it is at this point. But yeah,
it is what it is.
I can't have a choice. Yeah, you really didn't. Can't go back on it now. But yeah, I actually have a lot of high hopes for this team this year, and it's not crazy. We've seen teams make massive jumps in their win totals from one year to another.
Yeah,
so,
Toronto, you know, last year. Definitely.
I mean, we've watched the Thunder do it. We've watched the Spurs do it. We've watched the Pistons do it. We watched the Cavs do it.
Yeah.
So a lot of teams could do it. Kevin, good to talk to you.
But it comes down to him. Yeah. Comes
yes.
down to him.
Oh, yeah.
100%.
Without question. All right, man. Good to talk to you, buddy.
Thanks, Nick.
You're the best. All right, there he goes. Kevin Sheehan. Yeah, I mean, listen, Anthony Davis healthy makes this team. I mean, it's that you're Anthony Davis healthy is one of the best bigs in the NBA still. It's just how often have we actually seen, even at 33, right? You're still there. It's there. It's just you're going to get a smaller sample size of it moving forward. But yeah, I think you're still in a better spot where if you can sell high and trade Anthony Davis by the deadline, it's going to set this team up better. It really will. Nick Ashew, Team 980.
But first, let's get the latest on the world of women's sports, presented by Allstate.
Nick Ashew, Team 980. I'm trying my best to not get overly worried about these injuries. It does make you feel a little bit better, though. If you actually look at where the Commanders are injury-wise, it's not nearly as bad as some other teams in the NFL. But the difference is, it's like they're dealing with a lot of nagging injuries with guys that play key spots, and we're also close to it, right? So it's automatically going to stand out to us more, and it's going to be, I mean, let's be real. There's a scar from last year. And look, years past, too. It's not just this year, right? I mean, how many times over the years during the Jay Gruden era did we have all kinds of injuries? And you're like, what's wrong with the training staff? Are they doing their job? Are they keeping anybody healthy? I mean, yeah, injuries happen, but there are certain points where, you know, sometimes you just watch organizations and they have issues with that. And sometimes they change training staffs and recovery matters and all these other things. This organization takes that really seriously, though. Like all of the recovery, hyperbaric chamber, red light therapy, cold plunge, any type of thing you want, like they got it all there. And yeah, they make sure that guys' injuries are taken seriously, and we know they don't rush them along, but when we're talking like Mariota and Laremy Tunsil and Nick Allegretti and now Johnny Newton with that pec injury and Adafe Owe with the calf and Trey Amos, who's barely been out there with like Allegretti, and it's just, they need Trey Amos to have a big year this year. Like, they need him to be healthy because this is a guy that you invested a second-round pick in. I mean, you've got a small sample size of him, but it hasn't been good so far. It's been a lot of injuries. It's been some inconsistencies. And, you know, for somebody like a Trey Amos, if he's out there to week one, week two, he's going to probably get targeted a lot, even if they're kind of limiting his snaps a little bit. He's missed all this time. And I mean, if I'm looking at a scouting report with this team, I'm going, let's go after Trey Amos. He's barely been out on the field, and he's young. You know, Nick Allegretti, missing time at center. That is a problem. You need somebody out there like that. But, I mean, if you look at some of these other teams around the NFL, the level of severity is so much worse for it. Now, obviously, the Johnny Newton injury adds to this list, but I mean, RotoWire's got a whole, they track all of the injuries around the NFL in training camps and have literally like a score to, you know, where it's guys on IR and the total number of that versus guys just on the active PUP list, just out or listed as questionable and all these things. The 49ers is just every year. Every year they are the most injured team. I mean, how can you not believe the power station, power grid conspiracy theory at this point? It's every year with this team. They got 7 guys on IR, 3 are on PUP, and 16 are listed as questionable right now. Now, sure, you're going to make some guys questionable before the next preseason game. A lot don't play, like whatever, but it's every year with the 49ers. The Cardinals are the second most injured team right now, the Giants, the Dolphins, the Browns, and a lot of those teams, really other than the 49ers, are all rebuilding, tanking, whatever you want to call it. So it matters a little bit less for them, but the Commanders are missing significant names at significant positions. And it's just, it's the time that's missed with so many moving parts. You feel a lot better if you've already had the David Blau offense for like 3 years, and you've had the same defense and system and majority of like the core of that for 3-4 years. So everybody's comfortable in their roles, and everybody's comfortable in what they're supposed to do, and you've really proven that your system works, right? We don't have that. You got a rookie offensive coordinator, a rookie defensive coordinator, a lot of new parts to this team on both sides of the football, and you've got somebody like Nick Allegretti moving positions. Even, yes, he played some last year. I get he played some center. That's fine. We're talking entire season, new offense with a quarterback that's going to be under center more as opposed to shotgun, and like all of these different things. There are just so many things that everybody is learning right now and having to go through. This idea that just like, well, they're pros, they'll figure it out. Yeah, sure, but you know what you want them to be? Put in a position where they can succeed right away. Like, that's the thing. I just worry about this offense sputtering to start the season. Yeah, Jaden Daniels healthy is going to elevate them no matter what. But there might be some bumps in the road for this team, at least starting off. I mean, at least at the very beginning, the first couple of weeks. And it's just, on top of that, you're sitting here with a schedule that's insanely difficult, right? Now, do we know what the Eagles' offense is going to look like? Do we know what the Cowboys' defense is going to look like the first 2 weeks? No, of course we don't. Because they've got a million moving parts. New offensive coordinator in Philadelphia. Is Jalen Hurts more comfortable in this offense? They've added a bunch of new receivers, but what does that offense actually look like? I mean, my theory is they're probably going to do what they did in Green Bay because Sean Mannion comes from there, where they're spreading the ball out to different receivers every single week. So, you know, you're going to need most likely all of your secondary to be locked in week one against the Eagles because they're going to be trying to throw that ball around. Jalen Hurts might even run the ball more. So, like, you don't know a lot of what you're going to get there. So sure, we can be like, we don't really know what they're... Yeah, there's a chance, but it's two division games on the road. Then you've got the defending Super Bowl champs coming to town. Then you're going on the road to London to play the Colts. And, you know, it's week six is the 49ers on Monday Night Football. Who knows how many guys will actually be healthy at that point. But it's the front end of this schedule that is... There's just so many things that are stacking up on this team where... Might not be surprised if they might have to make up for some wins later in the year, right? Where they might be, 3-5 to start the year off through the first 8 weeks. And then you kind of make up some ground later against some of these other teams like the Cardinals or the Titans or whoever. And again, somebody could be injured and that completely changes the whole dynamic of what the schedule looks like or whatever the case is. But it's just they've got a lot stacked against them right now in a year that is very pivotal. Because you have to prove that last year was the fluke and not your first year with this whole new regime and everybody that's there. Like, you got a reputation that you're trying to build up, a culture you're trying to build up, consistency, all those things. And you don't want to be in a position where at the end of the season, it's like, is Dan Quinn on the hot seat? Is Dan Quinn going to get fired? Because remember, then that's an entire, and I know I'm going way down the road here, but let me spiral for a minute. You also have two new coordinators. Then if Dan Quinn's out, like, you're not going to elevate David Blau to head coach at 31. At least I hope not. So would you then have both those coordinators gone and a whole new coaching staff? Again, this is an extreme situation if like a million things happen. But all I'm saying is there just is a lot riding on this season for this team. And, you know, if it looks like a team that's at least improved, you know it's a tougher schedule and they finish the season 8-9. I mean, they're not firing Dan Quinn for an 8-9 season most likely. Because you don't want to show that this is a front office and an ownership group that's going to be making knee-jerk reactions like that, right? You want to show continuity. You want to show consistency. And you can, at that point, if they're hanging right at 8-9, they win 8 games, like, you can easily say, well, we improved. We got better from the year before. And, you know, we've got new coordinators that really showed promise in this offense. This defense is getting better. All those things. Like, all of those things will be factored into this. It's just you don't want this season to bottom out. You don't want to have like an 0-4 start. That's not the direction that this team wants to go. And again, I know we are in the middle of August and it's training camp, but all I'm saying is it's the stuff that happens now that does have a trickle-down effect later in the season, right? You got a lot of things factored against you. Injuries are piling up already. Tough start to the schedule. Rookie coordinators on both sides. Some people changing positions and new guys on the roster and a lot of moving parts. I would not be surprised if there is a learning curve to start the season off with this team. Last thing you want to see is them go 0-2 and lose to the Eagles and Cowboys to start the year. But, I mean, there is a chance there's the case. There's also a chance that Jaden Daniels just goes off and just looks like a monster that's healthy this year and everything's fine, which is what makes quarterbacks so damn valuable. And at least, thankfully, for the love of God, we're not talking about a random-ass dude starting a quarterback for this team. And that gives me a little level of confidence and helps me breathe. And it should help you breathe, too. Nick Ashew on the Team 980. Nick Ashew, Team 980. Whether or not we see Jaden Daniels against the Lions this weekend in the second preseason game, we're bound to probably see one or two preseason heroes again. Anthony, you and I have talked about the preseason heroes a lot, man. I got to be honest with you, that is my favorite thing of the NFL preseason, is figuring out who's going to be the guy that we all go, oh, he's got to make this roster. Oh, he's got to. And at this point now, I mean, it's got to be Robert Henry Jr. I mean, with what he was able to do in that first preseason game, and he just showed like he's got a different dynamic and different skill set than really anybody else in just terms of that real quickness that he's got. They have the chance, honestly, to have, I mean, definitely three, if not four, completely different running backs on this team. I mean, there's going to be some crossover and similarity there, but they can really bring a lot to the table with how they can run the football moving forward. And, you know, hopefully there's going to be more of a level of commitment to the actual of running the football as opposed to in the past, which, you know, sets up the pass and all those great things. And we've seen it would be nice if that was actually the case, right? But I mean, look, it's let's put the injuries aside for a second here, because again, most of these aren't major injuries. The Laremy Tunsil injury is a major injury. Johnny Newton is a major injury too, but he's not. I mean, Laremy Tunsil, there's a difference between those two in terms of their role on this team at this point. I mean, this Commanders team, the upside is, what, 10 wins? Realistically, the upside for this team is 10 wins, around there. We know the low end is, it's probably last year. A lot of injuries and, you know, just a team that just kind of spirals out of control and Jaden Daniels misses a bunch of time. But if this team is to hit the upside, the high side of this, and they get, you know, more healthy as the season gets going. And listen, I know you're going to deal with injuries no matter what, but you get through some of that gauntlet of the early in the season, the two games on the road in the division, the Seahawks on the road in London, the Colts, you know, and you start getting through the meat of some of that and come out hovering around 500-ish. Cardinals, Titans, I mean, a couple of teams that are hopefully wins for you there. Falcons have no idea what that team's going to look like. Vikings with Kyler Murray at quarterback. We know the defense is going to be good. I mean, this team we will know. It will not be. It won't be what the Patriots were last year. So, right, the Patriots, we know Patriots had a great season, get to a Super Bowl, blah, blah, blah. We know all that, right? Drake May, runner-up for MVP, cool. They also had one of the easiest schedules the NFL has ever seen. I mean, legitimately, in terms of strength of schedule, it was one of the easiest schedules historically the NFL has ever seen. So, listen, the Patriots had an offseason where they went out and addressed their offense. They added some receivers. They gave Drake May some weapons that he needs. They addressed the defense the year before, and that worked. That's what helped get them to a Super Bowl. But for the Patriots, last season, I mean, their record was a little inflated given the competition that they had. Were they a better team? Absolutely. Were they better coached? Absolutely. But this will not, there won't be any questions about whatever this season is for the Commanders. That identity really is them. It's not like, well, you know, the competition or, well, the strength of schedule. No, man, this is a tough schedule. Like, it is, you are going to be tested early, and you could argue even tested late in the season, because any division game, right, with the Cowboys, that always means something. They both might be fighting for a playoff spot. Sure, there's a chance. You're at Jacksonville late in the season, and the Jags continue the trajectory of what we saw last year. Liam Cohen got the best out of Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence was an MVP candidate. So the Jaguars are no longer that team that you look at and just kind of scoff, like, the Jags. Again, two games on the road late, even the Vikings. That Vikings defense we know is good. That's why they wanted Brian Flores, and they got his understudy instead, which may work out just fine for them. But you got a tough Texans defense, at least. Even if C.J. Stroud still forgets how to play quarterback, you're going to have a really good Texans defense that you're going to see late in the season. And even Atlanta, I mean, Atlanta's got weapons. If they can figure it out at quarterback, and Kevin Stefanski can get the most out of that offense that you can. I mean, this is a guy that won Coach of the Year in Cleveland. And there's really very few games that I look at and go, these are just bad teams, right? really. The Titans and Cardinals are probably the two on the schedule that I would really look at and just go bad teams. But, I mean, with Robert Saleh and Brian Daboll there, and the offense might be better, and you might have a decent Titans team. I'm just saying, like, we know very little about where this is, but you know that, like, the opponents that you trust to be good, the Rams, the Eagles, and listen, I hate to say it, but the Cowboys, right? Like, I mean, these are all matchups you're going to have that'll tell us, and if the 49ers are healthy enough, even though they're already the most injured team in the NFL, you see them on Monday Night Football out at their place, like, yeah, we won't have any questions about the identity of this Commanders team. But if they do have a season where they're at least in the playoff hunt late in the year, right? You see the graphic and it's in the hunt and you see Commanders right there, either outside looking in just barely or they're actually in. They're going to have earned that. This isn't one of those schedules that gives you any sort of padding whatsoever. And yeah, we all know what it comes down to. It comes down to Jaden Daniels first. That's how the NFL works. But it's right, it's a double-edged sword. It's great to have a quarterback in a quarterback-driven league, but if you lose that quarterback, the downgrade is significant, and we have a perfect example of it from 2 years ago to last season. That's it. That was it. Jaden Daniels alone held. If Jaden Daniels was healthy for the entire season last year, this team's winning at least 8 games. He's worth at least 3 more wins, even with that roster and what they had. Just willing this team by himself. I mean, Josh Allen's done it how many years in Buffalo? Now, you don't want to see your quarterback having to do that. I don't want to see Jaden Daniels having to run the ball 15 times a game, and you're worried every time he takes a hit because he's trying to get an extra yard, and it's like nobody's open downfield, so he's got to scramble, which we did see last year. And it's not that it necessarily contributed to the elbow injury against Seattle, but remember that? Remember when he fell and, like, yeah, and the elbow and the whole thing, and nobody was open downfield that entire game, and he looks upset and frustrated, and it's just, you know, you didn't get the Jaden Daniels that you expected last year. You didn't get the Jaden Daniels that you wanted last year, but he has the ability to carry this team and be Superman for this team. And look, it's not like they've built out a roster now that they say, yep, that's done, we've built our contender. No, they're not there yet. So you are going to have to count on, at times this year, just like his rookie year, Jaden Daniels carrying this team, carrying this offense. Now, you've added weapons. They've really addressed the needs at least as best they could. I mean, they tried to go out and get some other receivers in free agency, just couldn't get them. So you have Stephon Diggs. It may work out really well. I mean, it as long as he's in the right spot, the right role, you got some other guys. They draft Antonio Williams. So they've added some pieces around Jaden Daniels. But, I mean, in the end, it's him. And yeah, am I worried about the left side of the line? Yeah, of course. But if Brandon Coleman can hold down the fort at left tackle until Laremy Tunsil comes back, if, you know, he can make it back during the regular season, then that's a win for this team. That's a big win. And if Nick Allegretti can settle in and stay healthy and, you know, show that he's worth being a starting center in this league, then yeah, things can swing the other way too. But in the end, it all comes down to Jaden Daniels. And like, I know this is how the NFL is, but it does limit just your outlook on a season, doesn't it? Because, again, we've been on the opposite side. We've watched this organization line up random dudes at center or at quarterback and go, well, okay, let's try to figure out a way we can get excited about Case Keenum, John Beck, Tony Banks. There's one for you. Danny Werfel, Shane Matthews. We could name a million others. But your ceiling's just always going to be lower there. Now, there are teams around the NFL that say, okay, let's build out our defense and run the ball more if we don't have a quarterback, which, you know, kind of makes sense. If you don't have a quarterback, you need to at least try to find other ways to supplement that as best you can. But it also doesn't happen right away. Like, to build a defense, it doesn't happen in 1 year. So, are you going 3 years without a quarterback? Are you, you know, it's hard. It's hard. You're wandering a desert aimlessly when you don't have a quarterback and you're just trying to figure out what the future looks like. Like, think about a team like the Steelers. They're just desperate. They're like, ever since, even the end of Ben Roethlisberger's time in Pittsburgh was like, okay, it's the ghost of Ben Roethlisberger. This is bad. I mean, to the point where people are like, you got to bench him. Like, he can't play anymore. It's done. And it happens sometimes, right? Quarterbacks, we saw it with Peyton Manning. Noodle arm just happened, and that's it. Like, you get to a point where it's done. But, I mean, the Steelers have been kicking the can down the road for a long time. And Aaron Rodgers fills the position nicely for them. He had a career high in completion percentage last year. Aaron Rodgers still has something left in the tank, but that's a team that's still got to figure out what their future is. And sure, you can hope that next year's draft is going to be loaded with quarterback talent like we think it is, but this draft class coming up and all the hype around it in the NFL, it's a lot of quarterbacks' names that were mentioned we thought were going to be in this draft. It doesn't always pan out. And, you know, it's why when it hits, you want to do everything you can to maximize your quarterback's potential, the protection, the weapons around them. And listen, if it works, you're happy to pay him, right? You're happy. Jaden Daniels ends up getting $58 million a year, has a monster year this year, because that's what's going to happen. Jaden Daniels could just match his production his rookie year, and he's going to get a monster contract. It's not going to be, well, you know, we want to see if he's going to improve. Uh-uh. They're going to be running to his team. This is, you know, everybody that's involved with it right now. I guess we could say that it's his mom, but it's also the lawyers and all the other people. You know, the people that have pissed off everybody at LSU right now. You run to all of them and just say, just here, here's my, take our money, please. Because it's really hard. It's really hard to find that quarterback, and to the point where, yeah, you want to protect him. Like, you want to make sure that they are, because, I mean, in the regular season, again, there's only so much that you can do, but it just controls so much of your season. And, you know, if they can find a way to have the quarterback of their offense, and he's healthy all year, and then maybe the quarterback of their defense developing in Sonny Styles, despite what happened in the first preseason game. They didn't unleash him. They didn't do it. That was just get out there and get some pop on the pads and just kind of get worked in a little bit and just, you know, do something. Just get involved. I'm not overly worked up. There's some people that are so angry. Oh, we saw nothing from Sonny Styles. He was like, what, one drive? Come on. Again, this is the thing with preseason. It's just so watered down. It's looked at as an inconvenience for most teams at this point. Like, oh, God, we got a preseason game. Figure this out. All right, who are we playing? Who's going to be out there? Who wants to sit? And yeah, there's guys trying to make the roster. But again, most of these rosters are generally filled out. You're looking at maybe a handful of spots that are still up for grabs. It's not much. It's really not. So you get to a point where, as you know, as a coaching staff, as an organization, you just want to ride out the preseason healthy. That's why we may see Jaden Daniels out there for a drive, but I think he's going to be handing the ball off, maybe throw the ball once or twice, and it's just get out and get healthy. That's it. Like, just come on. Okay, come on, get out. Get him off the field. Which you can't have that mindset in the regular season, but it's okay to have it in the preseason. It just is. Yeah, we saw they ran the ball a ton in that one drive with their starters against the Bengals last year. Thought they were going to run the ball more, and they didn't. So preseason just tells you so little. And one or two drives from the starters is not going to dictate their success early in the season offensively. All the other things they've been doing leading up to this, that's where it happens. It's all the preparation in the offseason. It's, you know, learning the offense at the very beginning. It's, you know, OTAs, and it's everything they've done in training camp. And yeah, it's different than live action, even preseason to a point. I get that. But it's nothing is the real thing until you actually play the real thing. And that's it. And that's why a lot of teams, as you see, they're a little shaky to start the year offensively. It happens. But the good thing is if they're loaded with multiple backs that they can really use in different ways in the run game, or, you know, obviously as receivers out of the backfield too, that helps them where they don't have to put the pressure on Jaden Daniels to throw the ball 45 times a game. Early in the season, maybe they don't have to. They established the run a lot more, and Jaden's throwing the ball less. And it's not just about, right, there's maybe some more just bubble screens and shorter passes and things where it's just getting guys involved, and then a couple of, you know, you suck the defense down, get the safeties close to you, boom. That's when you throw a couple deep. And it gives you an opportunity then. So I'm just ready for the regular season. It's like before the draft. We're like, are they going to draft this guy? Draft this guy? Wizards and Commanders both. We're just like, God, gee, we just figure it out. But we'll see. Maybe we'll have an answer tomorrow. I'll be back tomorrow. J.P. Finley joins us tomorrow as well. Maybe we'll know whether Jaden Daniels is starting against the Lions. Or we'll just keep playing the guessing game. Nick Ashew, Team 980.